Good evening, brothers and sisters in Christ. Tonight's devotion is a reflection of heaven. So how often do we think about heaven? I know a couple of devout Christians who long so much to be in heaven. They would rather sooner to be there than staying much longer on this earth. There is this well-known Puritan preacher, Richard Baxter, who lived more than 300 years ago. When he was 35 years old, he was so ill that the physicians told him that he would not live much longer. With such pronouncement, Richard Baxter began thinking much about heaven. However, by God's grace, he eventually recovered from his illness and went on to live 41 years more to the age of 76. He found his extended times of meditation on heaven so helpful that he continued with it for the rest of his life. For half an hour each day, usually while walking before dinner, he disciplined his mind to focus on the world to come. He penned down his reflections on heaven, which is now collected into a book called The Saints' Everlasting Rest. His ministry and writing are well known far and wide, even until today. Baxter's most fruitful ministry was the 17 years period of pastoring in the town of Kidderminster in England. There he saw virtually the entire town of 2,000 people converted, most of whom were previously unbelievers. It is said that a visitor walking through the streets on a Sunday during this period may hear the singing of psalms and rehearsals of the day's sermon echoing from countless homes. His method of thorough house-to-house visitation, discipleship, catechizing, and pastoral counseling transform an unconverted town into a vibrant Christian community. It is believed that his daily reflection on heaven affects his perspective of life and his approach to the ministry as well. Now, coming back to us today, how much of our daily time is spent to think of matters in this world and how much time we spend thinking about heaven? We are actually pilgrims and we will be called home one day. So we ought to think of our future home. Colossians 3 verse 2 tells us to set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. I would like to invite us to ponder on heaven tonight through the following verse. Matthew 13 verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. If we just pause a moment and reflect on this verse, what goes through our mind? Sometimes songs or hymns help us to slow down our thought process and think through the verse more as we either sing the verse repeatedly or we sing it slower than we would read it. This verse is impressed upon me through a song. It is such a glorious verse. It tells of what the children of God would be like in heaven. We will not just walk on the streets of gold, but we will shine as the sun. Let us reflect further on this verse. It is found in Matthew 13, where Jesus taught the multitudes using parables. One of the parables, as recorded in verses 24 to 30, is the parable of wheat and tares. In verses 36 to 43, Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house and started explaining the meaning of the parable of wheat and tares to the disciples. We read in Matthew 13 verses 41 to 43 that at the end of this world, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Here we read of the contrasting destination of those who do iniquity and those who are righteous. In verse 38, the doers of iniquity are also called the children of the wicked one, while the righteous are the children of the kingdom. The children of the kingdom are those who by the love of God and his good pleasures are adopted to be his children, born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Hence we are called the children of the kingdom, not because of any good that we have done. What about our righteousness? If we just remember what we were in the past, were we not also doers of iniquities? But we are plucked out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. We are given righteousness, not our own, but Christ's righteousness, such that God has made Christ to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If that was our past, what about our present time, today? We are beloved of God. We are called saints, justified, and yet still weak and fallen. Oftentimes sinning. We know ourselves. And yet despite our sinful past and our current weaknesses today, if we consider what Scripture says about our future glorification, that just blows our mind. Matthew 13:43 says, "The righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." What does it mean to shine forth as the sun? In the gospel accounts, we remember that at the transfiguration, Jesus' face shone as the sun and his raiment was white as the light. In the vision that John saw and recorded in Revelation 1:16, he saw that the Lord Jesus and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Revelation 21:23 also says, "In heaven, there is no need for sun and moon, for the glory of God lighten the city, and the Lamb is the light thereof." These verses describe the glory of God that is so glorious that it is expressed in physical brightness of being. The brightness is compared to that of the sun because it is simply the brightest thing that human knows. We cannot look at it without blinding our eyes. We also remember when God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. He spent 40 days with the Lord at Mount Sinai when he came down carrying the two tables of testimony. His face shone. The people were afraid to approach him, so he put a veil to cover his shining face. Moses' countenance shone after he spent 40 days without food and drink, fellowshipping with a holy and glorious God. Now in this verse, we are promised that in our glorified state, we will also share in his glory in this way. In our Father's kingdom, the righteous will also be glorified and shine as the sun. We are changed to the same image of our Lord from glory to glory. There is no need to put on veils, for the glorified Christ will meet his glorified people face to face. If we consider again our past, our life today, and what we will be in our Father's kingdom, we feel so undeserving, so inadequate, so humble, and yet also so privileged and so loved. We may let our scripture-guided imagination wonder what living in heaven will be like. Doing so may simplify our lives by helping us to see things more from the perspective of eternity. It may clarify our priorities here and remind us to shine for him even while we are in this world, for we are also the light of this world. It may remind us of a coming glory that is worth any suffering here, knowing that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, indeed, great is your love for us. When we behold what manner of love that you have bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, that just fills us with gratitude and praise. And now that we are the children of God, and it has not yet appeared what we shall be, but we know that when Jesus shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We pray that you may help us to remember who we are daily as your children and how we ought to live as your children here on earth. Help us to remember also that we have our Heavenly Father to whom we can bring our petitions, our prayers, our concerns, and all our cares, knowing that you will hear us. Thank you, Lord, for we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.